You're listening to Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. All right, folks, so it is Thursday, October 25th. For a change, I have a guest on my podcast. But I hope that you guys enjoyed the last couple weeks where I just sat down and talked to you about some spiritual weapons. I am very excited because this Saturday, and of course, if you're listening to this after October 27th, it's not this Saturday, but this Saturday, October 27th, I'm going to be in Austin, specifically Round Rock, for a Strategic Warfare for City Transformation conference that starts at 9 a.m. Now, I'm going to say this. You can register on our website, bridemovement.com. This is an event hosted by Luke 418 Ministries, and Barb Buckland, who is the head of that ministry, is going to be joining me for the podcast today. But this event will be at Faith Culture Church, 655 Palm Valley Boulevard, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Registration is only $50, and frankly, the way things look, you may be able to register at the door. So I want to encourage you to hang out with us. Really excited about the content that's going to be going forward at this conference. It's something that you've never heard on this podcast before, never heard presented in any of our courses or in our school, the Bride Ministries Institute. This is all brand new stuff, and it's going to be 6 hours of it. So, you know, if you're in the area, I want to encourage you, hang out with us. Now, we are building up BMI. We have a number of courses. You can find it just by going to bridemovement.com and clicking on the Bride Ministries Institute tab. Let me explain. If you register for the Bride Ministries Institute and set up like a name, that simply gives you an account on Teachable, which is the platform that doesn't give you access to any of the classes. And some of you have been a little bit confused about that. You said, well, I signed up for the school, but I didn't pay anything, but I can't get into any of the classes. Well, we have tons of free content. But if you want the classes, which are specific, subject-focused learning experiences that will be an investment into your personal ministry and life, then you're going to be sowing into Bride Ministries that essentially by purchasing those classes. And once you purchase the classes, make a payment, then all of the courses open up to you in that specific category. If you purchase the Kingdom or the Grace or, Advanced Deliverance, and those classes will open up to you and you'll be able to go through the course, take the quizzes, and learn. So that is continuing to be expanded. We'll be recording again in a couple weeks. I am going to be adding, hopefully, three more classes either before the end of the year or by the end of January. We're going to work it out, but we are really excited about adding a class on the Kingdom and the End Times, a class on Ministry to the Human Spirit, and a class on realms and realm thinking. And so look forward to all of that. Remember, guys, when you are sowing into Bride Ministries, you are sowing into a platform that is expanding to create solutions to problem sets that are unique and that are niche, but not as niche as people want to think. And for all of you that continue to financially support us, thank you. You're making an amazing difference. We are continuing to save towards survivor housing while we're continuing to take survivors off of our survivor waiting list for coaching hours that we are subsidizing through the ministry. We are also, really investing in the platform now. You will see, hopefully in the next couple months, the release of an updated website. We're working on updating our image and web presence again, and really integrating with enhanced engagement through social media, and just looking to cast a bigger net, folks. And all of that is costing money, and we're making the investment because we believe that there are a lot of people that are looking for what we have, and we are here to help them find it. So with that said, we're going to get right to the program. Visit us at bridemovement.com. I so appreciate all of you that continue to listen to this podcast, follow our ministry, attend the Fireplace Church. God bless you. We'll see you in a minute. Folks, this week on Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall, we are very excited to bring back Barb Buckland. Now, if you had listened to this podcast a few weeks ago, you'll remember her because she came on the program to talk to us about joy. And I really enjoyed that program. We got into why joy is based not on seeking random pleasures, but on things that matter, like relationships. And the way she broke it down and how joy affects the brain was so good. I said, you know, we have to have you back on to talk about peace. Now, Luke 418 Ministries is based out of Austin. You can find them at www.luke-418.com, and they work with people that are broken, in need of inner healing and deliverance. They do have a long wait list, folks. I'm just giving you the warning. But, you know, Barb, it is so good to have you back on the program.
Oh, well, it's good to be here again with you, Dan. Looking forward to it, and looking forward to next weekend as well. Well, when you'll be here in Austin.
That's right, folks. I'm going to be in Austin at Barb's invitation, which I am so excited about. The last time I was there, Barb, it was just a blast. And this time we're going to be talking about city transformation and strategic warfare for territories. Folks, if you're getting this before Saturday, you can still register. If it's after Saturday, sorry, this is gone. But Barb,
yeah, right.
I am really looking forward to being down there with you.
Yeah, we are too. We are too. We had such a good time last time, and it's wonderful to just to get your input on the issues of healing and deliverance. And people have really enjoyed the books that they bought when you were here last time. And I understand, by the way, I understand that a couple of your prayers have been translated into Chinese. And they're being translated into Spanish by a team that's working with us to translate our deliverance ministry into Spanish. So that's kind of cool, I think. And it's all going to be translated into Polish as well. This thing has gotten a sort of a life of its own all of a sudden.
Oh, my.
Yeah. We have, I think I gave you a copy of the film that was made for us called Road to Freedom. And the man that did that film had come through deliverance, and he was really struck by what the Lord did in his life. And he was a filmmaker, and he came back a few weeks later and said that the Father had told him that he was to do a documentary about Luke 4:18. So he made a film for us, and now he's in. He has a real mission to go to the Polish people in Chicago and work with them in the areas of drama and theater and dance, and bring the Lord in the process. And after he went through deliverance, he started coming and working with us at the table to take other people through. So he called just this last Saturday morning to tell us that he had taken his first Polish person through in Chicago. So that was the beginning of something new there.
Whoa.
Isn't that fun?
That's so exciting. I really love deliverance. And the fruit that it produces in the lives of people, you know. And one of the things, Barb, that just breaks my heart is that deliverance as a ministry has been nominalized in certain parts of the body of Christ. And it's to all of our detriment.
Yes. Well, yes, and you know, I just think all the time what would happen in the body of Christ if the body were really free, right, of all the hindrances, so that they could work out the good works that they were written in their book of life and walk into their destinies, and all these things that we deal with in deliverance hinder that from happening. So, you know, we just feel like we see a miracle or two or three every day, and just think how glorious it would be if the whole body of Christ were free in that way.
Well, and one of the things that people seem to be really bound up in the area of, Barb, is peace.
Yes.
Because they don't have it.
No.
What is peace?
Well, I, you know, the peace isn't just kind of a sense of calm, right? Because I think the biblical peace, which is really the word shalom, is far more meaningful than that. It's really a sense of wholeness, and it's a harmony of all things in right relationship to God and to each other. So that when we, one of the things we know is that when we bring peace, we are blessed, right? And I was looking at peace scriptures today, and Romans 5:1 says, our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us, and he now declares us flawless in his eyes. This means that we can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, has done for us. So I think that's the beginning part of peace, right? Mm-hmm. It's that oneness with the Lord, understanding what that means. And then in Romans 5:10, it talks about being reconciled to him, right? So then it says in Romans 5:10, now that we are at peace with God, and because we share in his resurrection life, how much more we will be rescued from sin's dominion. So all that works together, right? The peace, and what comes right after that is more joy that comes with the peace, right? Those two things are certainly intertwined, but and fear are the opposing forces. And most of the world, I would say, wouldn't you too, Dan, that the world is in a place of horrendous fear these days? I mean, we can call it anxiety, but the truth is it's fear. Right?
So you're telling me that fear is one of the number one reasons why people are not walking in peace.
Absolutely.
I just think they're
antithetical. If you don't have peace with the Lord, and if you don't have that security with him, then you're going to be walking in fear, doubt, double-mindedness, anxiety. All those things are going to come in with it. And when you look at the scriptures on peace, they speak it out real clearly, right? Yeah, I pulled up a couple scriptures on peace and fear, and this is what it says. Lord, even when your path takes me, this is Psalm 23:4 in the Passion Translation. Lord, even when your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for you already have. You remain close to me and lead me through it all the way. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. And here's another one. Proverbs 1:33 says, but the one who always listens to me will live undisturbed in a heavenly peace. Free from fear, confident and courageous, you will rest unafraid and sheltered from the storms of life. So what I see is you're either walking basically in peace or you're going to walk in fear, right? That those two don't live together in the same place.
The other day, I was driving in my car. And Barb, I'm going to tell you what happened. You ready for this?
Okay.
This is a mess. It's horrible, okay? I see a spider crawling on my finger. Where did the spider come from? Who knows? It was small, tiny, relatively harmless, right?
Right.
Now, you know what happened? I looked at my hand and I said, aha, there is a spider on my finger that should not be there. So I flicked my hand. But that was really a big mistake, because when I flicked the spider, it landed on my wife's foot.
Oh.
And she was a little bit more fearful of the spider than I was. Now, this broke the sense of peace and wholeness and right relationship between God and everything else in the car for a few
I can believe that. Yeah, somehow peace escaped you, huh?
Oh, it fled on both feet.
Yeah.
I mean, it was gone. I was like, where'd
Yeah.
it go? And
What happened?
but you're right. To fear and peace are in a battle.
Absolutely in battle, right? And how many times did the angels say when they came in when people were afraid, right? The first thing the angels say is peace unto you, right?
Wow.
And Jesus, what did Jesus say? He said, peace I leave you, right? He said, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives, right? It says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So what he's saying is his perfect peace will take us out of that place where we trouble about the things from the world, where we worry about them, when we're afraid of whether it's spiders or whether we're afraid of the whatever it might be, right? On a day-to-day basis, those things are antithesis to each other.
I'm
So that
telling
if
you
we're
what.
really walking in his peace and his wholeness, we should be also, there's a lot, we should be walking without fear. That's the first thing. But the scriptures also, I mean, the scriptures about peace are just incredible, just as they were about joy. And the assuredness that that peace will be there if our relationship is right with him, that's the first thing. And then he tells us over and over again that we should extend that peace to everybody around us, right? To live a calm and peaceful life, right?
So,
That's the outgrowth of it. If we have peace with him, then we go after bringing peace to others. It's a gift that we bring to other people.
wow, that is profound.
Well, that's a. We're dealing with. I'm part of the Austin Disaster Relief Network and have been since it started. And of course, right now the disasters. This disaster is in the form of a flood, not very far from where I live. And in fact, we've got houses within a few miles of us that have been damaged and some just destroyed. They're up in the hill country. There are like 700 houses that are in some swept away, some not. But when you've got that kind of trauma, which is true in the lives of the people that you see and that we see, the best thing that we can do for those people is to bring them back to a place of peace. Because when you're in a place of peace, you can begin to deal with the issues. When you're working in fear, when you're working in panic, when you're working in all the loss, right, all the trauma, you make poor decisions. So from a disaster relief network purpose, what we want to do is to bring carriers of God's peace into that situation with people. So in
When
order to do that, we have to be carriers of peace. That's the first thing, right? We don't learn peace when there's a trauma. We don't learn peace in the midst of a disaster. As the body of Christ, we should be carrying that peace. If we're in that right relationship with him, then that peace that we carry is actually transmittable, just as joy is. So is peace, because that is part of the kingdom, right? It's not a, that doesn't have anything to do with rules about food, right? But it's the realm of the Holy Spirit filled with righteousness, peace, and joy.
Well,
So there it is. There's the kingdom.
amen. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Okay, now how does this translate to people that have been raised in an environment of fear? They went and lack and trauma,
Right.
and so they grow up surrounded by that, and then they become Christian and are now suddenly expected to have peace, something that is completely foreign to them. Well, how do you coach people, Barb?
Well, we bring first. The first thing is to get to be sure that they're in a right relationship by the Lord. I think that has to do everything with the work that we do, getting rid of generational curses, you know, working through things like that. And then we really teach and preach joy, both joy and peace, both joy and peace. And we have I believe it comes with an understanding that this is a possibility, because people that have been working out of trauma, deep trauma, like we're doing with deliverance. We had a gal here today who was homeless, actually. But oh my goodness, when you got past the things that had happened to her, she's very skilled, very bright, been to college. I mean, it's a pretty incredible, would make a great movie. But she's been working in a lot of lies and fear. And so once we can attack the lies that the enemy has put in somebody about who they are and what their relationship with the Lord is, and how the enemy's been deceiving them, and how they've been walking in fear, and that it's possible to walk out of that fear, then they begin to see that it's a possibility, right? Because what they've been believing is that things will never change, right? They'll always be rejected, or things will never go right, or I have to be afraid. And when we deal with that demon of fear once in a while, you know, he'll say those things like, she's mine, right? She doesn't know how to live without fear. I'm not going to let her go, right? And of course, they've been living with a whole lot of fear bonds, probably from the time they were little kids. So it takes some time, but that's the basic, is to get rid of the lies and have them really settle into the truth of who they are, and that this is a possibility to get back to a point of joy and peace. Now, I walked in this, I had two of our wonderful gals working with this gal today, and she was really kind of panicky about being here and about going through deliverance. And when I walked in, I started talking to her. She was in the midst of the deliverance, and one of the gals came out and said, I think she's ready to go home. And I said, oh no, she can't go home. So when she got to this point, when she was really walking in fear, and fear of just, you know, being here, nervousness and so forth, anxiety. And when I walked in and sat down and talked to her, she said, your voice has just brought in peace to me. And strangely enough, she looked down, and I have a ring that has love on it. That's what it says. And she had one on. And she put those two rings together, and she said, look what God did. So in the process of it, she started to smile. It was the first time anybody had seen any joy come on her. But joy and peace was just released together. And it was really beautiful. So I just believe that the body of Christ is supposed to walk in that peace and joy. It is transferable. It is infectious. And with all the fear and all the concern and all the anger going on in this world, people are really drawn to people, to others who have peace and joy and carry it. And so that will attract people into the kingdom. If the church is walking in that peace and joy, it looks very different than the rest of the world, right? But I believe with all the crisis that we're having, people are going to be looking for others who carry that mantle, and they'll want that for themselves.
Okay, so I want to talk to you about how peace can affect a person who's been battling fear of success or fear of failure, mm-hmm. or both. Because a lot of people, Barb, are stuck because they are insecure about going further or going higher. But they're also afraid of failing if they try to go further or higher at the same time. Right. And right. So there's no ability to land on peace even about how to pray into open doors, opportunities. And, you know, I see people sometimes, they go into prayer double-minded because they want to pray for an opportunity or for a breakthrough. But as they're praying, their fear of success and fear of failure as a backdoor, sabotaging their faith and creating confusion in the spirit. Now, I don't know. I'm sure you've seen this before. What do you have to say to a person that struggles with fear of success or fear of failure?
Yeah, well, to me, I guess fear is fear. Mm. And what we know is that I believe it's totally scripture, when we're walking in that place where we have security, who we are as sons of the, or daughters of the King, then we have a sense of just a real, there comes the word peace into my head, we have a real peace about who we are and a security in that place, that there's a love bond formed with God, and nobody is going to move you out of that place once you have that experience. That's the way I believe it's supposed to be, that we just believe that that's who we are, and we can be sure that He's for us and not against us. And once we believe all those truths that are in Scripture, I believe that perfect love that we feel, we have felt, it flees. I believe that has the ability to drive out fear when we're able to receive the love. Now, there are some people that have, because of all the fear, right, they built up walls around their heart so they can't give love or receive love. But those walls get melted down once people go through deliverance and get healing. Mm. So that they're in a different place, and that love from the Father, I think, is the key to people walking in the security of who they are. There's the verse looked at one this afternoon, I pulled it up. Now may God, the inspiration and fountain, because this pulls it all together, inspiration and fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in Him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with a superabundance until you radiate with hope. So there's hope, peace, power, joy, all in one verse, right?
That's powerful.
And a superabundance is what you end up. A superabundance of those things is what you're going to come out with. So when you're in those places, there's no room for fear. You know, your heart's flooded with the light of Jesus. It's flooded with joy and perfect peace. Fear doesn't enter in when people are in that place where that relationship is right. They know that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is there, and whether the first two again, it's joy and peace, right? Mm-hmm. So I just see fear fleeing once we establish the foundation of those relationships and the security of who we are in Christ. Another thing I think, Dan, is the ability to hear God's voice.
Yes.
Because, again, once we're able to hear His voice and we know that He's there, that He's always with us, we teach something called Emmanuel. I think I mentioned it last time, too. And once people know that and know that they can hear His voice and get answers to the things that are bothering them and the questions they have, and He always meets people in Emmanuel wherever they are, and He gives them exactly what they need at the moment. Once they have that realization that that is something that they can trust in and depend on, and that He's also been there through all the trauma, and He heals that trauma at the same time, then fear and insecurity just scatter, and we see people really walking in the the fullness of joy, hope, and peace, all the fruit of the Spirit comes, right? Because if you don't have joy and peace, you surely won't have the kindness of heart and the other things that are there in the fruit of the Spirit, or patience, will you?
Well, no. And actually, when you brought up the subject of the voice of God, you know, I'm reminded of something that's always stuck with me since Bible school. You know, and they taught us, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. But in all things, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. And the God of all peace will give you the peace that passes all understanding, that will keep your hearts and minds by Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they described it, which I still cling to now, is that, you know, the peace of God actually umpires the heart. In a sense, if it is the voice of God, your heart, your being, the seat of your person will resonate with peace. If it's not the voice of God, that peace is not going to be there. It might just feel like another bad idea. But when it's God, there's this harmonization that happens inside of us that's totally entrenched in supernatural peace. And that is one of the best indicators that one is actually hearing the voice of God when they're in prayer. And I still follow this as a rule of thumb, Barb.
Well, that's because it's basic foundational truth, right?
Amen.
I mean, that's why it's a rule of thumb, right? It's foundation. If you don't get that peace, which, let's face it, most of the body of Christ doesn't have that, right? If they don't have that, to me, all these other things will fall on ground that's not really fertile. They've got to have that foundational ability to hear the voice of the Lord, to know that it's real and that it's experiential. It's not just head knowledge. This is something that is real. And they know that. Nobody can take away that testimony from them, because it's something that they have. And just as you say, you're not going to go away from that verse, right? They're not going to go away from the experience that they've had with the Lord, and the voice that they've heard, and the voice that they know heals, and the voice that they know can speak peace to a storm. That's what it's about. So those things to me are just, man, they should be 101 in any church, to bring people to the place where they can hear the voice of the Lord, and then go from there and know who they are in Christ.
So
if we had a body of Christ that did that, right, we wouldn't be anxious about anything. We would be walking in peace all the time. Looking up at peace and fear today, I found another verse which I thought was interesting. It was Acts 9:31. After this, the church all over Judea, Galilee, and Samaria experienced a season of peace. The congregations grew larger and larger, with the believers being empowered and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. They worshiped God in wonder and awe and walked in the fear of the Lord. So there's fear of the Lord. Peace, joy, everything wrapped up in that picture of a church that's growing and empowered by the Holy Spirit. So not fear of anything of the world, right, but the healthy fear of the Lord. So they were walking in obedience, right, walking in peace, walking in unity one another, and the church was growing. And that's what I think is God's purpose today, is that unity comes, we walk in peace with one another, and we will see the church grow and become what it's supposed to truly be.
I know for a fact that there are people that are listening to this podcast that do not have peace in their homes. They may even try to bring peace into their home with little to no results. Home is not a peaceful place.
Yep.
You know, what are some of the ways that a person can introduce an atmosphere of peace into a highly contentious environment?
Well, I would go back to some of the weapons of your warfare, right? You just spend two full times talking about them, but, you know, for me, I mean, the beauty of it is that he's given us ways to pray and to bind up that spirit of fear and whatever it is, anger, violence. We know that it works. We see it work all the time. So again, you know your authority in Christ. You know you can do that. You know you can loose peace and joy in a place and be that person that shifts the spiritual climate in a home or in an office or eventually in a city. That's what we're after, right, is city transformation. So I believe that those spiritual weapons that he's given us are also weapons that are overlooked to a great deal. I see people sometimes binding up spirits, but he tells us that we have the ability to bind and loose. So if you're going to bind up anger and rage, you sure want to come back and loose peace and joy, right? Loose the opposite spirits.
So that
you're bringing in, because that's bringing in the presence of the Lord. And I know one of Jim Wilder's favorite comments, which I love, is when we're talking with people that are living in tough situations, but in places, a lot of times, there's not peace in the house, and it's not really, there's not really rage and violence going on. There's just not peace and joy in the household, right? Mm-hmm. So one of his favorite comments is to keep the relationship always bigger than the problem, and to work on those things, and to be able to speak honestly with one another, because most of those people have been brought up in fear bonds, right?
Mm-hmm.
With fear bonds. And they don't even know, a lot of times people don't know what it is to walk in peace, and because it'll be the opposite, will be a love bond. So that you want to be with people, you're not afraid to be with people, and you can be the person that you're meant to be. You don't have to, people that are walking in fear are always walking with a facade, right, in a household. Afraid of what's going to happen next.
Mm-hmm.
Afraid of sharing their negative and their positive feelings. They can only share one or the other. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so it's there's an ability to really understand what you're missing when you're walking in those fear bonds, and to be able to overcome them, because a love and a peace bond, those will be characterized by truth and closeness and intimacy and perseverance, authentic living. The fear bonds will be, they're pain bonds, right? They're shame. They're run by shame and guilt and all the negatives. So how do you work to see those bonds of fear replaced by bonds of love and peace and joy? And that's relational stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's going back to some of the basics of honoring one another, respecting one another, encouraging one another, but working first on ourselves, I think, to be in that secure place with the Lord, so that the relationships are just a natural flow of the love and peace which come into our lives.
You know, I think that one of the really important revelations on the subject is that God actually calls us to be peacemakers.
Yes.
Which sometimes I think gets confused with peacekeepers, or you right. know, the idea that
very different thing, right?
We're just there to avoid rather than to engage,
right?
From God's perspective. And sometimes, you know, I know that I've found this to be true. You know, you step into an environment and it's like, no, I'm here to make peace. And that involves a lot of things, like you said. I mean, oh my gosh, you know, how cool is it to be the host of a radio program where someone comes on and quotes your own program to you? I think that's why I love you, Barb. One of many reasons. But like, yeah, God's given us this plethora of weapons to make peace, to actually shut down the kingdom of darkness.
That's right.
But then there's a side of it that is actually character, which is,
right.
Wait a minute, if my husband or wife says something offensive because they're in a bad mood, am I going to escalate the situation, or am I going to walk this out with Jesus in mind? You know, doing things that don't open the door to strife, and
right.
walking in a intentionality around giving honor and respect where it's due, with our boss and employers and, you know, co-workers and so forth. All of these things that we are demonstrating a certain solidarity of character that makes peace. It's just really important for us to keep in mind, you know, one of the things the Bible says, I love this passage in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And to me, that means that I am to, well, as you put it, keep the relationship bigger than the problem. And, you know, sometimes I think, you know, we get into these situations where we find that we just fundamentally disagree with people that may be brothers or sisters on things, and allowing there to be peace even around those disagreements is a sign of character.
Yeah.
And depth of person.
Yeah. Well, one of the things too that what we talk to people about is the ability not to pick up an offense, to be unoffendable.
Mm.
And that's, you know, the old thing about Satan's bait, right?
Yes.
And when you go back to the word offense, it's scandalon. And it was, the original thing was a piece of wood with a bent end at it, and they used to put a piece of meat on it to catch animals. And I just think that's what happens all the time, right? Satan puts a bait out there, somebody says something, and we have the ability to either pick up that piece of bait or not. I mean, that's a conscious, willful decision to either be drawn into it or not be drawn into it. So there's your character issue again, too. Which do you choose? Do you choose to, as you say, escalate the situation, or do you choose peace, right?
Wow.
And to be unoffendable, I think, is the way we're supposed to walk. And I said to someone, well, just picture yourself and what... Teflon is not a good, healthy thing to have on you, but it's if you were Teflon, and if you're really in Christ, then those words that are coming your way, you have the ability to let them drop to the ground and choose not to pick up the offense and to walk in kindness and love, which we know the word says overcomes the enemy and even makes an enemy our friend, right?
Wow.
To bless them and not curse. So there's the choice we have when it comes to walking out the behavioral part of it, to walk in peace and bring others into that place of peace.
Now,
and when you're in situations that are tumultuous, we know that when one person changes, it changes the whole game, right? You know, when one person doesn't react that way anymore, when they walk out of that place where they want to be contentious or sarcastic or whatever it is, it changes the people around them. They have to make adjustments, and they often don't want to make those adjustments, or they don't welcome them, right? Again, the word says, you know, when you're saying blessed are the peacemakers, or they should be called children of God, that's what we want, right? So that peace of God, what we're talking about, is it has to be evident in us. People see it, and they desire to have it, because I think that's the way, when we're peacemakers, we're able to show the love of God to a very troubled world. That's the light on the hill, right? That's when we're the salt, and that we're going to be able to bring light into it gives light to everyone in the house. That's the way that verse rings in Matthew. So we're able to bring life into our own house when we're walking in that place.
That's good. Speaking of your own house, this is something I've noticed. I've noticed that things flow from the head. And so, in other words, in a house where the husband and the wife are in a great deal of contention and lack of peace, the children are affected in such a way that their lives are experiencing a subtraction of a sense of wholeness and alignment and peace.
Mm-hmm.
And this seems to be translated into a body of believers where if you have an eldership that is in one accord, there is a sense of wholeness and well-being within the whole community. But when schisms begin to happen among the eldership, it fractures through to the whole house.
Totally, I think, in that.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I think those open doors at the head of a church open the doors to whatever those spirits are, just to run freely through the body too. We had a number of years ago, we had a church out here that was really thriving, and it happened that there was a what you would call a Pentecostal pastor and a Baptist pastor working together, and it was amazing what was happening. And the old religious spirit raised its head, and there was tremendous division come in the pastors. And one of them got fired, and oh, it was a terrible split. Everybody ended up. There were no peacemakers, right? So there was a horrible fuss that ended up. And what I saw, which I mean, I was not aware of it, that would happen, but that church had so many divorces in it, and I just thought, you know, afterwards looking back, that division and that separation and the anger and the rage and really a divorce between the two pastors, right, and the split just seemed to open the door to that spirit of divorce and split in the families within that body. And I think the same thing happens if there's perversion at the top, right? Those spirits are just like a familiar spirit that could run through a body of Christ. If there's pornography at the top and perversion, then that church may be really open to pornography and perversion all the way through it. Does that make sense to you? That's from a spiritual standpoint?
It's so accurate though. And you know, this truly takes me back to Paul's instruction when he's talking about leaders. And he says, you know, that the man must rule his own house well.
Mm-hmm.
That's a requirement. There's a wisdom behind that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not to put people in places of authority until they're ready for it, right? Until their character matches the position.
Well, yeah.
Why is that so funny?
We've learned a few lessons.
Yeah, we've all seen that, right? Well, we're also seeing it, unfortunately.
I'm going to tell you what. Okay, so talking about peace, even how it flows from the head, it flows through generations. There are repeat, you can see the patterns of a life devoid of peace that people carry one generation to the next.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, and you brought this up earlier, you know, people say, why can't I find peace? Well, there's a generational curse on your whole bloodline that's sucking the peace right out the window that needs to be brought into correction.
You bet. Yeah, this little girl that was here today that I mentioned before had four generations of Freemasonry in her family.
Mm.
And generations of abuse that went right along with it. She knew that.
Mm.
So there's what you're talking about, right? So that was seeded into her family line, from her family line. That, you know, people, I mean, again, a good part of the body of Christ doesn't believe that generational curses are even true, right? I mean, doctors even understand that. They understand what's happening in the physical realm, but it's certainly true in the spiritual realm, the doors that are opened and the curses that come as a result of it.
So good. So,
yeah.
I want to talk to you a little bit about the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. So this is part of our spiritual armor, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on this?
Well, the gospel is the gospel of the good news of joy and peace, right?
Hmm.
I mean, that's what we're bringing to the world. That's what the word says that we're bringing, right?
Amen.
Joy and peace, that's good news that we're carrying. And so I believe that I believe that Ephesians 6, I look at it, I know it's a good exercise, but I look at it as a lifestyle. In other words, we're just supposed to be walking that way all the time. So that when we're walking in that peace, we are protected. The enemy doesn't have any place to get to us when we're walking in peace. When we have shoes that are walking in the gospel of peace, we're walking a totally protected life. I look at it, you know, like we're above the snake line is where we should be.
Come on.
That we're walking in that place where the enemy, he's not going to get us if we're walking in peace and joy. He hates peace and joy. I mean, I look at peace I hear it all the time that, oh, well, there's no offensive weapons. I think peace is a totally, totally offensive, offensive weapon. Not offensive.
But well, it's offensive to some weapon. People.
Yeah, offensive to some people. But I look at it as a weapon of warfare, because he can't get to you when you're walking in peace. Right? If you're walking in peace and joy, what the enemy does and says becomes quite immaterial to you. And if you're carrying that kind of light and the ability to walk into loving relationships and change the spiritual climate because you're carrying his presence as that portable Ark of the Covenant, then what is he has been you, right? Where is he going to get at you? So truth is a weapon. You know, all those things are weapons. Every one of those things that we carry are weapons, right? But particularly the peace part of it, the peace and the joy and the love, those are offensive weapons. What does the enemy do with those? He couldn't do anything with Jesus, right? So if we're walking, if people see Dan and they say, oh, here comes that Jesus man, right?
Hmm.
He walks and talks and acts like Jesus, right? What does the enemy do with that? I mean, how is he going to get at you when you're really walking in all the fruit of the Spirit? He doesn't have a place to attack you anymore. That's how I see it. And that's what we try to teach and to impart to people, that this is possible. This isn't impossible. This is that radical walk that he calls us to.
You know,
the fruit of this.
Amen. It was really interesting. You know, there's been a lot of times where I've been in some scenarios where things seem to be going wrong. Like, you prayed about it, you covered it, you did all this stuff, and yet even still, things seem to not be going according to plan. And the immediate natural response is usually to get upset and frustrated and yell at someone or demand some kind of thing. But I have found that sometimes if things begin to be going wrong and I check with my spirit and there's peace, it's actually God working something out. And if I try to fight my way out of what God is working out that looks on the surface to be something going wrong, then I'm actually sabotaging a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, really, you learn some of these lessons when you're on a journey to character. You know, it's like, you know, you drop a book when you're on the way to the bus stop. You pick up the book, but the bus arrives a minute early. So by the time you get to the bus stop, because you dropped the book and it was everything worked together, the supernatural alignment of events, you miss the bus. It's like, gosh, you know, just picking an example here, you know, and it's like, I'm going to be in a lack of peace now because this is going wrong and that's going wrong. But, you know, what if the next bus actually has your divine appointment on it?
Amen. Amen.
And if you get on the bus in a lack of peace and frustration, you won't even hear the Holy Ghost who's saying, sit right here, because you're going to have a very important conversation that's going to change your life. Instead, you're just fuming, mad, upset.
Right. And you're missing whatever he has for you at the moment. And, you know, I just love that in the Passion and in the Source Version, both of them, it says when we're talking about this, it says the God of peace will swiftly pound Satan to a pulp under your feet. Don't you love that?
I love that.
It's the God of peace that's going to swiftly crush, pound Satan to a pulp under your feet, and the wonderful favor of our Lord Jesus will surround you. Well, that's what happens when you walk in that kind of, okay, Lord, what do you have for me now, instead of reacting out of the flesh, because all that other reaction is out of the flesh, right?
So good.
All the anger and the fear and the anxiety, all that stuff is coming out of the flesh. It's not, that's not walking in the Spirit. You know, that's not being content in all things. All those things go out the window when fear comes in and anger comes in, they don't rate in the fruit of the Spirit. Right, they pull us out of that place. We tell people all the time when joy leaves, and joy particularly, because that word that says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Okay, so when joy leaves, it's perfectly okay to ask the Lord, what stole my joy? Because he will be very gracious to show it to you. Right? And you can, as long as you hear his voice, that's back to that voice thing again, as long as that's there, then you can say, oh, that's what it was. Well, I won't fall for that ploy again, right? Or I won't walk into that trap or that snare. You've just shown me something. I'm not going to fall for that or buy that lie anymore. And I'm going to walk in peace no matter what. I mean, I believe that we're supposed to be able to walk in the midst of the storm in peace, just as he did, and then to speak peace from the storm. And that's physical as well. I mean, we've seen that happen so many times with weather. I'm sure you have too. being able to speak peace to a storm, but to be able to speak peace into situations, relationships as well.
That is so good. I have found that peace is actually a prerequisite to going higher in spirit in order to deal with heavy-duty stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If I try to pray, say, a warfare prayer from a posture or seat of anxiety and stress and fear, it's like very low level. It lacks a certain depth of power and capacity to bring change. If I lay down my stress and anxiety, fear, it's stuff, junk, you know, at the feet of Jesus, before engaging in some kind of spiritual warfare or prayer of clearing an atmosphere, so forth, there's a lot more power, Barb.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe that. It just magnifies your authority, right? I mean, when you think about that, that's the authority that Jesus had, right? He didn't walk in any of that junk. So he had incredible authority, which means that we should walk in that incredible authority when all that stuff gets put to bed, and we can walk in that peace and joy no matter what's going on, no matter what. Because there's pieces. The peace that we have is supposed to be, well, two things. It's supposed to be demonstrated certainly by a healthy ecclesia to the world, and it's not supposed to be determined by possessions or circumstances, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
What is...
So,
yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that if you're talking about possessions, peace ought to be the possession that you're seeking, peace and joy, right? The kingdom, those are the possessions that we're seeking. And the other things are in the long run, pretty unimportant. And if we want to be blessed, it says we're supposed to become a peacemaker. All those things go together to bring blessings and favor and joy and discernment and the fruit of the Spirit into our lives, and those are the things that will draw others to Jesus when they see that modeled.
Amen. So, what is one of the moments in your life where you really learned the importance of peace? God just gave you a massive download and said, you know, Barb, now this is your, like, traveling revelation on peace.
On peace? Well, I think I mentioned going to Argentina with you last time with Ed Silvoso.
Yes.
And, one day when we were in the process of a teaching in the morning with all the people from the leaders from this little town of San Nicolas there, and all the people on our trip were there, Ed had a small fire pit up at the front of the room, and he had small pieces, sticks of wood next to him, all about the same size. And he was teaching on walking in the Spirit. And what he said, now, you know, I was a relatively new believer and I hadn't learned much about prophetic acts, but what he said we were going to do was a prophetic act. And if we were ready to see the old Barbara really be able to die, and to die to the things of the past and the things that you held on to, then the prophetic act was going to be to just walk up and take one of those sticks and put it in the fire pit and watch it burn. And when you got back to wherever you were from, I was living here in Austin at the time, when you got back to Austin and the old Barbara crept up again, the Holy Spirit would remind you that she died on the plains of Argentina. And I did that, and it was transforming. It was as if everything had changed. My heart was changed. My life was changed. I walked, began to walk in a peace, and got a download of that peace that day that I had never felt before. So that was the beginning of the walk, but it came from that simple prophetic act in Argentina. And once you look at the word again, you see how important that piece is, right? And everything that we do. And in Peter, I believe it's in the end of Peter, it says, "Grace to you and peace be multiplied." What's that look like? To me, that looks like peace exponential, right? Mm-hmm. And enough peace that you can pass that peace along to somebody else. Does that answer it?
That is really good. I love that. Wow. So
yeah, I'm a lover of peace, right?
Me too.
But I used to be a peacekeeper. I mean, that's one thing that changed in that process. I had an alcoholic husband, so I walked in a lot of fear bonds, and I walked as a peacekeeper, trying to keep things okay, right? What do we do next? What happens next? How do I keep peace in the house? So that for me, that was totally transformational, to walk in peace, and then joy followed. I just see walking, I mean, there's the kingdom again. That when we're walking in the kingdom, concerned about the king, walking in righteousness, peace and joy are just, they're just buddies with us. They walk right alongside of us. And we're hedged in, I see that picture just hedged in by protection when we're truly walking because those are people that do that are life givers, right? You want to be around people giving life. So they bring life and they bring peace and they bring joy to other people. It really is transferable, and it's infectious. All those things are infectious.
Well, speaking of being a conduit and transfer of peace, Barb, I want to invite you to close this program with a prayer imparting peace to those that may be listening to this program that either are operating in a complete deficit of peace, or have broken fellowship with peace for a short season, or may be confronted by a lot of circumstances that are threatening to steal their peace. And I'm going to be sitting here soaking it in.
Okay. Well, Lord, I just thank you for this time. And I thank you that you are the God of peace. And I thank you that your word says that you're just going to crush Satan under our feet. You're just going to crush him to a pulp. So we just rejoice in that. And Lord, your word says, too, that we're supposed to walk in the Spirit. And the mindset controlled by the Spirit is life, and it's peace. So I pray for everyone who's listening to this call that their top priority will be to live in that place of peace and joy in the kingdom, that will bring harmony into your relationships. That's your word, Lord. And that they will be eagerly seeking to strengthen and encourage one another. And I pray, Lord, that there's just the inspiration and fountain of hope that comes with that. that it will fill them to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace. And I thank you that the power of the Holy Spirit, we just pray for each one, will continually surround them with superabundance of hope as they walk in the Spirit, Lord. And I thank you that all of that will bring them to the place that they will bear much fruit. There will be joy that overflows and peace and patience that endures, Lord. All those fruit of the Spirit will be evident to their life. And they will be those that will shift atmosphere, change their home, their church, their city, because they walk knowing that they walk filled with your Holy Spirit, that they're carriers of your presence, that they're those portable arks of the covenant, that they're tents of the Holy Spirit, and that in that tent resides your very presence. So we just bless them with a fresh revelation of how much they're loved, and how much that love casts out every fear, every anxiety, every concern. We bless them with the perfect love of the Lord. And I do that in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
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 That was good.
Amen.
Folks, I hope you received that powerful prayer. Barb Buckland is the overseer, the one in charge at Luke 418 Ministries. You can find them at www.luke-418.com. Until next time, God bless and Godspeed. You've been listening to Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. If you would like to connect with us at Bride Ministries or to support what we are doing financially, visit us at www.bridemovement.com.
I want something light and modern,
but also cozy with an open concept kitchen
and a wine fridge.
How about an outdoor living space
with a fireplace and a spa bathroom for us
and one for Charlie?
At Dries Custom Homes, we've been listening to our customers for 95 years to make sure every home is built on a foundation of you. Customize a floor plan or get into a new build right away. Get started at DriesHomes.com. Dries Custom Homes. We like your style.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.